Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows a name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it, it's time for the truth. Here's our dude, you're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Hank Haney back with you, along with Minnesota Tim Porochka. Minnesota Tim, I'm working my way back to Phoenix after my pickleball tournament in Las Vegas. And I'm in Flagstaff, and it feels like Minnesota. It's 32 degrees here today.
Wow. And you have a house in Flagstaff. Did you move to Flagstaff so you can have a feel of Minnesota weather? Is that why you did that?
No, actually, so we could get out of the heat in the summer. Plus, they have some skiing up here, too.
Okay.
Snowball, something like that. Anyway,
that's pretty cold.
I haven't skied there. My wife skied there, though, and Henry skied there. But, yeah, little Minnesota. Snowing last night.
Wow. Did you make a snowman?
No, it was just a flurry.
Did you make a snow angel?
Yeah. No, I noticed the snow this morning on a couple of roofs, but it's supposed to warm back up. But anyway, big cold front on the West Coast. Just came through. And just a couple of days, it'll be back up. But we went from 100 to 60. It's like 66 today in Phoenix. It's supposed to warm up. It'll be upper 80s by the end of next week, which, by the way, I prefer. I'm not a cold guy. You got to be freezing your butt off right about now in Minnesota, are you?
Not too bad. Honestly, it's a little chilly, but my skin has already adapted to the cold weather. So today was like 30 degrees, but it felt warm because the sun was out. So very positive, wow. Very positive.
Golf season's over? No, golf is done?
There might be one more day. We might get 50 degrees next week. So I would suspect that golf courses would open up again. I was talking with Cousin Tyler, and they said if it's over 40, they're going to open up Shadowbrook again. So, I'll keep you updated. I am curious, however. So you played pickleball in Vegas. How'd you play?
A tournament.
How'd you play?
Professional Pickleball Association tournament. Although I'm not a professional, but they have amateurs play too. It's kind of a weird thing. They have a pro tournament, but then they have all the different amateur levels too. And I was playing 4.0. It goes from like, I don't know, 2.5 to 5.0. I'm 4.0. I played the mixed tournament first with a partner that I'd never played with before, Katie Lamb. She was good, really good, and held us, together. So she played good. I was not at my best, I have to admit. I got better as we went along. We ended up finishing third. Lost a match that would have got us to the gold medal match, but anyway, that was, I would rate that an okay, not great, a little weak in some areas. I got a good idea what I need to work on, kind of like any sport you're trying to get better at, no different than golf. You get out there, a little competition, and then you see what you really got. It's a little different program in the competition. Then I played the men's event, men's doubles, and that was no good. We won our first match, lost our next two. It's double elimination. Out of there. See you later. You're done. But anyway, I gotta improve. That's for sure. I've figured out that my game is. I got a few holes in it. It's just that's the way you gotta look at everything when you're trying to get better. I mean, it's the same thing when I'm coaching golf. I look at somebody and I just say, okay, these are the holes that they've got. Whether it be with the driver or the putter or the short game or this particular shot they have trouble hitting, or this particular shot they hit good. It's the same thing playing, you know, pickleball. And it's really the same thing in all sports. I mean, you just got to figure out what your weaknesses are, work on your weaknesses. I got a few in my pickleball game that I gotta shore up a little bit and try to get better. But I'm not discouraged. I like trying to get better stuff. I like trying to improve. And I had the good attitude, tried hard, put out the good effort, but not the result that I was looking for
sure. Okay. Would you consider yourself the Tiger of the 2000s where you can win with your C game?
I definitely cannot win with my C game, for sure. I feel like I could maybe win with my A game, but here's the thing, and I realize this from golf, and I've said this many times. Like, you take a scratch player, and I'm not a scratch pickleball player by any stretch of the imagination, because 4.0 is not scratch. 5.0 would be scratch, but I'm 4.0. So I don't know where that puts me. Somewhere in the, you know, 5 or 10 handicap range, probably like closer to 10. And most players in golf, I'm going to use a golf analogy. If you're a scratch player and you go to a tournament, I would expect a scratch player at a tournament to shoot 78 to 80. That's what a scratch player is going to shoot. Now, a scratch player thinks he's going to go there and shoot even par, because that's, you know, why he's a scratch player. He's an even par shooter. But that's an even par shooting when you're at, you know, at your home course, playing with your buddies, familiar with the greens, don't even have to bend over and read the greens, know everywhere to hit it, know everywhere to miss it, no pressure, a couple gimmies here and there, and it's a different ball game when you get in a tournament. And it's the same thing with pickleball. It's like, I'll be playing like pickup games, and we'll play the first game, and everybody goes, oh, you know, it's just the first game, you know, just getting loosened up, or, you know, it's first game, you know, and that's the kind of the first game excuse. And I always joke with everybody. I say, well, okay, well, that is true. It was just the first game. We are just kind of getting loosened up. But if we're at a tournament, now we're in the consolation round, because you've already lost one. And you just don't play the same in tournament. Nobody does. And that's why a professional golfer, a tour pro, and they will be like a +6 or +8 handicap, meaning that their best 10 out of their last 20 scores are 6 to 8 shots below whatever the course rating is at the golf courses that they're playing. But people have this perception, I think, with golf that like a scratch player is almost a touring pro. Like, people will see a scratch player and they say, hey, you know, why didn't you play pro, or why didn't you go on the tour? I'm like, why didn't you go on the tour? Guy's like 6 shots around from being on the tour. And by the way, improving even just one shot is really, really hard when you're a scratch player or a 0-2-3 handicap. It's hard. I mean, improving when you're an 18 handicap is not hard, relatively speaking, compared to improving when you're a tour pro or you know, a scratch amateur player. It's just a lot different. The better you get, the harder it gets to improve, because, you know, now you're just really working on consistency and learning more difficult shots and how to execute the more difficult shots. So I definitely cannot win with my C game. And speaking of C game and your Tiger analogy there, he looks like he's pretty much got his he's locked into his C game, isn't he?
Yeah, he's playing terrible, Hank. I mean, Tiger misses the cut in the U.S. Open. He shows up to his favorite golf course of all time, Sherwood Country Club, which you said he's played 12 times, and he's either won it or finished second place 10 times. And he goes there and finishes 72nd. And he just played awfully. And this quote here at the end of the Zozo. So I did a classic Hank Haney. I looked at Tiger's quote, and then I looked at the statistics. So Tiger's quote, he says, "I did not drive the ball and didn't hit my irons close enough consistently, which is true. He finished 69th off the tee and 68th in approach shots. Then he goes on to say, The only thing I can take out of this week that I did positively, I feel like each and every day and pretty much every hole is I putted well. I feel like I rolled it great. Unfortunately, most of them were for pars and a couple for bogeys here and there, but not enough for birdies. And then I look at the statistics, and he was 65th in putting for the week out of 77 players in the Zozo Championship.
Yeah, there you go. It doesn't quite match up, does it?
No.
No, 65th out of 77, and you said you putted great. Well, all right, we'll talk about that when we come back. Let me remind everyone to go to HaneyUniversity.com, register for my free instructional emails. Just subscribe. All you got to do is give your email address, and we will be sending them to you every single day. You can also find some great deals on HaneyUniversity.com on some hot product items like the quick fold push cart, and we got a great laser range finder, and my one of my favorite training aids, the Impact Snap. We've got that on there too. But for free, subscribe and get the instructional emails at HaneyUniversity.com. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast. All right, Tim, let me talk about Tiger here a little bit. First off, let's talk about the fact that Sherwood was a course that he did great at. They did rebuild the greens. This is just something to keep in mind. They did rebuild the greens, so he wasn't familiar with the greens. Tiger's preparation at tournaments, in my opinion, and this is even when I was with him and watching him prepare for tournaments, I thought it was always rather lacking. I just did not think his preparation was great. And when he went to golf courses that he didn't know, and it could have been a golf course that they'd played many times. Like I remember one year at Doral, which he always did play great at Doral too. But one year at Doral, came back there and they had redone the greens. And when they redo the greens, they're not going to be the same as they were before. And all of a sudden, his ability to read the greens was taken away from him because he doesn't really read the greens. He has an incredible memory, and he remembers the greens. I mean, he reads the greens, yes, but the thing that he does even better is he remembers which way he puts break from year to year. It was amazing how he did that. But when they rebuild the greens, that's gone. Now he's really playing the greens for the first time. So Sherwood had been rebuilt, and a little bit of the advantage that he had, for sure. Yeah, yes, he knew where to miss it. He knows how to play the golf course and get around. It didn't seem to help him, but the greens and the greens reading was kind of taken away at Sherwood. That's something that I kept in mind. I thought, okay. Because I didn't know that when we had talked about the tournament at Zozo being played at Sherwood last week, and I thought, you know, this is going to be great for Tiger, and he doesn't need to do any prep at all, and he can just show up there, and he'll, you know the course and know the greens. Well, then they'd rebuilt the greens, and I saw him talking about that later in the press, and I knew that, you know, that he probably wasn't going to putt as good. Now, he says he putted good, but he finished 65th in putting, like you pointed out. So that's not exactly good. And that, if that was his good thing, which it pretty much was, his approach shot to the green, he was 68th and off the tee 69th. I mean, you mentioned that, and the tee to green 70th. I mean, those are just horrific statistics. And around the green, he was 22nd, but I don't know. I saw and I didn't see him do this live, but I saw it on Instagram or Twitter or something. Somebody posted, or somebody sent it to me, or you sent it to me, or something. The chunk, the you called it. It's your famous dub, huh?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that? Oh my gosh,
you sent it.
He's hit
me.
You know, it's hard to hide from that. Those are creeping up. You know, he had the one or two. The really bad one on the 18th hole at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, where he just fatted the pitch shot. And then he had just a little pitch at Sherwood, and he fatted that one. And the thing that's concerning is that's just pretty much the same kind of lies that you'll face at Augusta National with the same kind of grass, pretty much. I mean, tightly mown area, you know, it looked great, but maybe a little thin underneath the ball. And when you've hit a few of those shots, which he has now, and his short game has not been good. I mean, I don't, you know, people don't keep track of this stuff. They remember a player's highlights, and this is what they always do. They remember the player's highlights, and the announcers do the same thing. They talk about this guy's such a great putter, and you look into the statistics. Well, you know, last year he might have been a great putter, but this year he hasn't been putting that good. But just because you have one good year putting doesn't mean you're a great putter for the rest of your life, every single round you play. And the same thing with Tiger. Now, his short game was, you know, it was a struggle for, you know, we're going back now a few years, but it was really, really bad when he had the yips on the chip shots, pitch shots. You know, was that 16, 17? Okay, and then 18, he definitely righted the ship and everything was better, and he was 11th strokes gained around the green. 2019, good again, 45th. 2020, we got a problem. I mean, we've gone from 45th in 2019, which isn't great for Tiger Woods, to be honest with you, because he was always right there, top 10 in that statistic. And people think he has such a great short game, which he had most of his career for sure. But now you look at his statistic 2020, and it was 145th. So he went from 45th around the green to 145th around the green. And that is not good. Even though he finished 22nd in strokes gained around the green at Zozo, you can't ignore the fact that that one pitch shot off of that, you know, lie just short of the green, a good lie, and he just, you know, basically just chunked it. And the look on his face was, wow. I mean, just to see him ever hit a shot like that, Tim, it's just hard for me to even conceive. I mean, I watch it and I replay it and I look at it and I think, am I seeing things? I mean, is that a trick video or something? I mean, like, I used to go out with Tiger and when we would practice, and I did this, you know, 150 days a year for 6 years. And the first thing that he'd practice every morning would be the short game. I mean, that's exactly where he went. I remember, you know, we'd practice down at Isleworth where he lived, and there's short game areas. And we would go out there and we would practice on that short game pitching area. And he was incredible. I mean, you know, I hardly ever told him anything. I mean, honestly, if he asked a question, my observation was always just based on what he was doing different than he normally did. It wasn't like, you know, oh, you could improve at this or improve at that. Sand game, he could have improved at. But the pitching game was always just great. And he always pitched off the tightest lies, and that's not something that I'm very good at. And I thought to myself, God, I just stood there in awe all the time, just so envious that he could pitch it off those tight lies. And it, you know, then he had that big struggle for a couple of years where he was, you know, yipping those chips and chunking them. And then it got better. And now, you know, he's had a few of them. I mean, it's hard to ignore. Now, he's not like doing every one. He hadn't done the Blados where he's running it over the green like he did at Phoenix that year. And that shot hasn't been there. But let me tell you, I mean, you chunk a couple and it will be there. So that's not a good sign. It makes golfers like you feel good, but
definitely
no way it's making him feel good. That shot looked familiar. Is that the dub? That's what you call the dub?
That's the dub. Tiger's been watching too much Minnesota Tim game tape on the golf course and trying to. I understand that he's trying to replicate what I do on the golf course because what I do is pretty difficult to copy. But when you think about Tiger's game, he's won so many tournaments with his short game. The 2005 Masters, everybody knows that shot against Chris DeMarco. The Memorial Tournament back in, what, 2011, 2012, yeah, whenever that was. Those incredible shots.
Yeah, he held it off from off the green, yeah.
Yeah, those incredible shots is what Tiger is known for. And with the short game that he has now, there's no way he can win a tournament winning that way.
No, I mean, well yeah, you're right about that. I mean, but right now he can't win anyway. Now, he played Mickelson with Mickelson in the last round, and he nipped him. Mickelson had a terrible day too. So yeah. those two guys just had an awful day. But I told you Tiger would beat Mickelson last week. That was one of my picks, but that was it went down to the last round, and they both played awful, and Tiger played a little less awful. But there's no part of Tiger's game right now that can give him any confidence, to be honest with you. 69th off the tee last week. I mean, last year he was 47th off the tee. That's not bad. But he was 77th in distance last year. You know, everybody likes how he's swinging nice and smooth and so on and so on. But, I mean, we look at how the game is today and dominated by the long hitters. And Tiger is having to play a different game. I mean, 77th in distance, he averaged last year 296.8 yards. And when you've got 32 players on the tour last year that were averaged over 300 yards, I know it doesn't seem like a lot. It's just, 4 yards or something. But it's just he's playing different than he used to because he's not the, longest hitter or one of the longest hitters. And that's understandable, at his age. And with the injuries he's had and so on and so forth. But like you said, what's he going to rely on? Can he rely on the short game? Well, that's no, clearly. Can he rely on the putting? Well, last year he finished 183rd in putting. 183rd, okay? And this last week at Zozo, he putted really good, he said. And, you got to take what he says. You always have to take what he says, and you got to research it yourself because it doesn't mean anything. Like he said, I putted really well. He finished 65th in putting. Now he says I rolled it great. Okay, well, maybe he did. Maybe he did roll it great. But they weren't rolling in the cup. They were rolling, around the cup maybe or over the edge of the cup. But they weren't rolling in the cup. That's for sure. Not when you're 65th in putting. Approach shot to the green, that is his stat that never seems to vary. Last year he finished fourth on that stat. But for me, when I look at it, too many three putts, not enough putts hold. He drove it into some penalty shot situations last week, which is, that happens at that golf course. Sherwood, it's the possibilities out there. And his short game is not good. He's been horrible out of the bunkers. And, if you look at his stats from last year, all you can say is his iron play is still pretty darn good. Other than that, there's nothing there. Nothing. Now, does that mean that there, could be something at Augusta? Well, yes. The answer to that is yes, but is it likely? And that answer is probably a no for sure. But let's talk about that next. I was mentioning my pickleball tournament, and there's a lot of people using my Voodoo pain relief. People that play pickleball, they always got some kind of aches and pains. It's not like the ridiculously strenuous, but people are like, we got the sore muscles, the wrist, the elbow, the shoulder, what a knees, a lot of people with knees. There's a little older audience playing, although there's young people playing too. But anyway, a lot of people using my Voodoo pain relief gum. We got all kinds of messages already this week that people that I gave my products to try, and they just are raving about it. And you can try it too. Everybody that's listening, you can go to voodoopainrelief.com. And if you have any kind of aches and pains, whatever it is, knees, shoulders, hips, back, whatever, get a free 2-week supply right there at voodoopainrelief.com. And you can try it out free, F-R-E-E, free. It's right there on the front page. Just click on the button. You can sign up and you're there. You got your free 2-week supply. Try it out, voodoopainrelief.com. We'll be right back on the Hank Any Podcast. All right, so Tim, Augusta's coming up. Tiger, boy, he has not played a lot. I mean, he just hasn't. And a lot of people, you know, will say, well, it's a rust or it's this, or, and I don't know what they're saying. I mean, but you look at how he played last year. I mean, just his game is not, it's just not there. I don't know what to make of it. You know, I've said this a few times already. I can't imagine he's working his game that much. That's my biggest thing. How could he, what did he finish to, 20, what did you sent me a note. He finished 22 shots behind the winner?
Yes. Patrick Cantlay finished 23 under par, and Tiger finished 1 under par.
Oh, my gosh. At that golf course. And by the way, you know, one of the reasons that that golf course was always so advantageous to Tiger was because Sherwood has 5 par fives. So are you, if you got 5 par fives, you just, if you birdie, you know, 4 of them each day, which that was nothing for Tiger, you know, back in the day, you're 16 under par to start with. And that, you know, that's very doable. Now you got to just pick up a few more, limit your bogeys, and you're good to go. Well, the first day at Sherwood, he played the back nine first, and he was 3 over par on the par fives on the back nine. You know, which was already off to a horrible start. I was listening to it on the radio, and Dennis Paulson was just like beyond himself. He couldn't imagine that Tiger was off to that kind of start. I don't know. You know, he got, well, so this week's Bermuda, and you know, not many guys are playing there. It's about a half a purse. This is one of these give everybody a chance deals. And, they, you know, that's, they're not, no, nobody's going there to try and work their game. And the question, I guess, now is Houston. Now, he mentioned something about playing there, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So Tiger's never played in the Houston Open before. And he mentioned that he's keeping it open to playing, which is 1 week before Augusta National. Tiger talked about going to Augusta National this week, the week of the Bermuda Championship, going to the Houston Open to prepare for the Masters, and then going back to Augusta National the week of the Masters. So, yeah, sort of a surprise move here, sort of a surprise decision that Tiger's considering, especially since he's never done this before. So, Hank, does Tiger show up to Houston? Do you think he should show up to Houston? Is it a bad idea? Phil's playing the Champions Tour the week before the Masters.
Phil's always done that, though. Phil's always played and likes to play right into a tournament. Here's the problem. If you go play in the tournament like Tiger does, the way that he plays in tournaments, I mean, he has to do so much, you know, with his back. I mean, it's exercise, working out, therapy, you know, massage or whatever he's got, stretching. I don't know who he's got working with him or what they're doing, but it just takes a lot of time. It's not something that takes 15 minutes. He's got a couple hours a day, at least minimum. I mean, he's probably got a couple hours in the morning, and he's probably got, you know, another hour in the evening. So he's got, I would say, a minimum. And this is anybody that's got a you know, back situation like he's got. He's got 3 hours minimum every day that he's got to spend on his body. Okay, so now, and I mean, you got to eat. Okay, I mean, you know that takes more than, you know, zero time. You got to eat during the day, and then if you play in a tournament, by the time you warm up and play your round of golf, you know, you're looking at 6 hours there. So you got, you know, 6 hours, you got an hour, you know, something to eat, you know, you got 7 hours, you got 3 hours on your body, you got 10 hours. My point is if he plays in the tournament, I mean, he'll go out there and he'll hit, you know, just on average. I mean, he's going to hit 30 putts, and, you know, he's going to hit, whatever, he's going to hit, you know, 40 shots, 38 shots, shoot 68. He's going to hit 30 putts and 38 shots. And he's, and besides the warm up, okay, which is just getting, really just getting loose, it's not really practicing. He's going to have spent, you know, 10, 11 hours of the day, and he's going to hit 30 putts and 30 shots, you know, and then some warm-ups, some warm-up shots, some warm putts. So he's going to hit 75, 80 shots, 80 shots, 90 shots maybe. And how many putts he going to hit? You know, another 50 putts, going to hit 80 putts and 80 shots. And that's going to be the whole day. That's a thing. I mean, I don't really know if playing is the best thing. I mean, if you go practice, I mean, and you spend 6 hours, he could go play, you know, where he plays the Medalist. I'm sure he just tools around there in a cart, probably takes him 2.5 hours to play 18 holes of golf, practice for another 2.5 hours. And he's played 18 holes. So he got to see how everything is going. And then he got to hit a bunch of balls, bunch of putts. I'm just saying, if he takes the same amount of time, the 10 hours, you know, that he's going to spend playing in a tournament, he takes that same amount of time practicing, he's going to hit 3 or 4 times more shots or has that. Now, that's provided he's practicing. We don't even know how much he's practicing. You know, used to hear all the time about how hard Tiger was practicing, how much he was working at the course. You know, before major championships, they always threw a rumor out there that, oh, he just shot 60 or 62 or 64 before the tournament. I don't know if playing at the Houston Open, I don't really know what that does for you, to be honest with you. I know it wastes a lot of time. You know, maybe it gives you a shot of confidence. What if you don't play good? If you're out there not playing good, you don't have any time to practice, you don't have any time to work on your game, and you know are feeling worse about things. I don't know. I would be surprised, really surprised, if he plays at the Houston Open. I just don't. The only thing is if he does, it's just because, well, nothing else is working. Let me go play a little more and see if I play my way into this. But I would be surprised if he plays there. I just don't. He's more comfortable just doing his normal routine, playing at home, practicing at home. He can get more done in a shorter period of time. He can stay at home. He can see his kids. I mean, there's just you know, his mode. I talked about this last week. His motivation, his desire, his enthusiasm. I mean, it's clearly not the same, Tim. I mean, that doesn't take a, you know, unless you're just one of these guys in the media that believes the you know, stuff you make up in your mind. And I'm not one of those guys. It's not hard to figure out that he's nowhere near, you know, the dedication, the enthusiasm that he once had. It's not even close, and you wouldn't expect it to be at his age. But I don't see how playing the Houston Open does anything. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't think he's gonna. You know, maybe he will. Who knows? But you know. He hadn't played good in a tournament yet this year, but that doesn't mean he can't play good at Augusta. It's just, he needs to find, you know, his game. I mean, just, you know, listen, and I said this last week, when you're Tiger Woods and you're as great as you've been as great as he's been, you know, it's almost like he could just show up and all of a sudden he could have it. And you know, he'd get out there and feel comfortable on the golf course and hole a bunch of putts and, you know, play himself into contention. And then all of a sudden, you know, his instincts kick in and his great memories kick in. And all of a sudden, you know, he's right there coming down Sunday with a chance. And, you know, he's capable of hitting any shot and he, you know, pulls it off or, you know, gets a fortunate break. I mean, a lot of things can. I think that's where he is with his game right now. That, you know, any given week he could have a chance, but man, based on where his game has been this year and last year, it's not very good. Mm. I mean, it just isn't.
Sounds like you're picking him to win the Masters.
Nah, well, I'm picking him to win another major.
Well, there you go.
But I don't know if I would pick him to win this one. I'd feel better, and he'd feel better, I'm sure, if he had, you know, played some decent tournaments. I don't know if a last-ditch effort of picking up a decent tournament at Houston is going to do anything for him. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. All right, Tim, good stuff. Appreciate you joining me today. Everybody remember to register at HaneyUniversity.com for your free instructional emails. At VoodooPainRelief.com, get your free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. And follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. Follow Minnesota Tim at Tim Parachka. And hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And we will show up every day on the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.